Now you find my text in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Dear congregation, we out of all people in this locality should be so thankful as we come to the end of another year. We've been helped by one who has led us through every valley, comforted us in the storms, and caused us to lie down in the green pastures. We have one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has shepherded our souls, who is God's gift, as we see here in verse 15. And at the end of this year, on this last occasion, as we meet in this way, it is good and proper, as we look back, but also as we look up tonight, and consider him that we are thankful to the Lord. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. But the apostle, having written to the Corinthians concerning giving for the benefit of others, as we briefly noted in our reading, then concludes this chapter by speaking of God's gift. He thinks of giving gifts to others, and then he causes them to focus on God's gift. And we believe particularly it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now there is a difference of opinion to exactly what the apostle is referring to here. But the vast majority focus rightly, I believe, on the Lord Jesus Christ. God's gift. And so we read in John 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And there our Lord himself makes it plain that he is God's gift. God is to be praised. And we tonight, as we come to the end of this year in this way, let us raise our Ebenezer and give thanks unto the Lord. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Plainly, as we shall see in a moment, God is to be thanked. And even on the worst of days, we can pause and consider God's gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, and give him the praise. Now, as we think of this unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd like us to note a number of things about a gift, and consider therefore the glory and the beauty of God's gift. Now, as we think of a gift which you may receive over these days, it was not paid for by yourself. We, dear brethren, did not pay for God's gift. And then further, there are two further faults as we think of this. Firstly, we did not merit God's gift by anything we have done or will do. We did not merit God's gift by anything we have done or will do. Isaiah, writing in Isaiah 64 verse 6, said, "All our righteousness are as filthy rags. Like the prodigal son, we came dressed in rags." We did not merit God's gift. We did not merit salvation, which is through him. And then secondly, we do not deserve God's gift. Firstly, we did not merit God's gift, but then secondly, we did not deserve God's gift. Remember what Jacob said to the Lord in Genesis 32 verse 10, "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. I am not worthy." And we say it to the Lord, "I am not, we are not worthy. We don't deserve any of God's mercy." Even the seen things, rather, that are seen as smaller in comparison to this gift, we're not worthy of them. When we think of God's gift, we are not worthy of it. We do not deserve the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one of us deserves him. What a wonder of grace, then, that God gave, that we might be so blessed in receiving and through him. Well, as we think of this, that we're not worthy, And we haven't merited, dear brethren, are we not amongst those who truly and humbly thank God for his gift? We really can. When we think of the gift, as we saw in a moment, and then we consider we're not deserving, or are we not led to consider how great God is and that he is worthy to be praised? What a gift! Now the Apostle Paul conveys this, doesn't he, in verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. What a gift is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's just consider a few further thoughts here. Firstly, a gift of God's choosing. A gift of God's choosing. He chose his beloved Son from eternity before this world was made. He chose the gift. And he made the right choice. For he alone, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, could fulfill the condition of life. A gift of God's choosing. The anointed one. Secondly, the Lord is a perfect gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We could never consider a more perfect gift or someone else who could do better. And I say that carefully. Remember what Peter said to our Lord when our Lord said to him and the others, "Will you also go away?" Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Who else could we go to? There's no one else like our Lord." We could not think, therefore, of a more perfect gift. Song of Solomon 5, verse 16, "Yea, he is altogether lovely." A perfect gift. Thirdly, a needed gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Over these next few days, you may be given a certain gift, and you rightly say, "Thank you." But you wonder, is it really what I need? When we consider the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one we needed. It is a needed gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We so needed the Lord. We needed the gift from heaven. And are we not thankful that God the Father chose the gift? And the gift came. He came into this world. God gave Jesus for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What an amazing display of love, particularly to us, that God gave the Lord Jesus Christ, one we so needed, and we continue to need him. One of old wrote, "I need thee, precious Jesus, for I am very poor, a stranger and a pilgrim. I have no earthly store. I need the love of Jesus to cheer me on my way, to guide my doubting footsteps, to be my strength and stay. I need thee, precious Jesus, I need a friend like thee, a friend to soothe and comfort, a friend to care for me." When we look back, he was so needed, and we're thankful he came. And we prove day by day that we continue to so need heaven's gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And as we consider the present need and the future need, are we not thankful that the Lord was given? And we through faith received Jesus Christ, the wonderful gift. Over these days you may stretch out your hand and you receive the gift. Think of faith as being the hand, an instrument whereby you did receive. Fourthly, a gift that has blessed many. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Consider how the Lord has blessed you. The benefits that have flowed from Christ to you. You've been blessed, and then millions of others. It is a gift that has blessed millions. We have a family that extends all over the world, and many are in heaven. We feel our smallness as a local church, but we are in a number which no man can number. You know, dear brothers and sisters, it's good to pause, isn't it? That we here, as a local church, are part of the visible church. And we who truly love the Lord, we're part of the church savingly united to Christ. It's good to think like that. You can feel your smallness at times. But then when you have a scriptural outlook and you consider all your brothers and sisters, we're not alone. We're in a number which no man can number. We have so many brothers and sisters who have been blessed through Christ. Your brothers and sisters run into the millions. How many could say that tonight? What do we read in Revelation 7 verse 6? After this I beheld, and though a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands. The gift has blessed so many, and one day we'll be amazed when we're there before the Lord. How many have been blessed through Jesus Christ? Psalm 72 verse 17. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed in him. You have been, dear brothers and sisters, and so have many. And still there will be those yet to be blessed. And then all will be blessed forever, all those in Christ. The gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, has been a blessing to so many, including ourselves. We still benefit much through the gift. Fifthly, a gift that brings joy and peace. Consider here the Apostle Paul. He's just really taken up, is he not, at the end of this chapter? He's been considering and writing to the Corinthians about giving, but then he considers what the Lord has given. And it brings him great joy. His soul is so moved. He's stirred. He's left admiring Christ. How do we know this? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. He knows great joy and peace in his heart as he is moved by the Holy Spirit to write these words. A gift that brings joy and peace. Luke 2 verse 10, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And we have known joy, the joy of sins forgiven, the joy of holding this wonderful gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, the joy of listening to him, and on we could go. But also peace. What a blessing to know peace because of him. The apostle wrote in Romans 15 verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now just pause now. We can encourage the unconverted that if you repent of your sins and believe in Jesus, there is the prospect of joy and peace. We who know the Lord, oh, to know more joy, to know more peace in believing. Well, that's precious, isn't it? Do you note that there? In believing. You ask the Lord to so help you to focus your eye on him as you exercise faith, that you might know joy and peace. Joy and peace in believing. If we're to know a little more, we need to be looking at Jesus and praying for the help of the Holy Spirit. What a blessing it is when we're so focused on the Lord and we know that joy, he's my Saviour. And we know that peace, all is well for my soul. And we just sit down and we really fix our minds on the Lord. And consider the gospel and really just hold on to that gospel in our minds. It can bring us joy and peace. Well, it was the apostles' desire that those brethren would know joy and peace and believe. And it's my desire and may we know much joy and peace in view of God's gift at the end of this year and as we enter a new year. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that the Holy Ghost would work within and cultivate the graces, that we would be helped to look unto Jesus, that we would know joy and peace, and that we would abound in hope. Let's focus on that. Abounding in hope. There's much to discourage. But oh, for that ministry of the Holy Spirit to cause us to abound in hope. A greater hope. Let's focus on the gift. And consider that last point, that the gift has been a blessing to many. We can be those in hope because we know we shall be blessed and others shall be blessed as well. A gift that brings joy and peace. Sixthly, a gift to hold so very near. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. So as we think of this here, the Apostle Paul, he had been considering giving to others, but then he's taken up with the Lord. The Lord is very near to him. The Holy Spirit is so working in his heart, and Christ is so very near to his thoughts. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. As it were, the Apostle is holding the gift so very near to his heart and his mind. Sixthly, it is a gift to hold so very near. Remember Simeon, he took hold of our Lord in his arms. Luke 2 verse 28, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, see how scripture complements other parts of scripture. He took him up in his arms and he blessed God. That's what the Apostle Paul is doing in a spiritual way, is it not? He's taking hold of the Lord, the wonderful gift, and he's blessing God. Those precious words in John 1 verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. They met him, but oh, they were so holding Christ near. We have found him. What a blessing. God gave the gift, and through grace, and through the work of the Holy Spirit within, we found Christ. It's all of grace, isn't it? There's a lovely description there in John 1 verse 45. We have found him. How blessed we are. Oh, to hold him near. You think of the thousands in this country who will be thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear brethren, we can think of him and rejoice that we found him through grace. And that we have the prospect of holding him near. We found him. Oh, to hold him near. Oh, to have this nearness to Christ. This closer acquaintance with him. Remember last Lord's evening? What seek ye? And those two wanted to get better acquainted with Christ. You know, as the days pass this week, I want to get better acquainted with Christ. Oh, to hold him. You think of a gift to hold. Son of Solomon 3 verse 4, it was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go. I found him. There appeareth there to be some distance, not a total withdrawal, that's impossible, but some distance and a renewed finding of Christ, that exercising of faith, the Lord drawing near, I held him then. Oh, to draw near to Christ. Oh, for that moment when we are holding Christ so near. The gift near to our hearts. Now, maybe over these next few days you're given a soft jumper. Or a fleece. I've received a fleece recently. And one of the things I did was I took it near to my face. You know, it's so soft, isn't it? The fleece or the soft jumper. And you hold it near that gift. And you hold it near with delight. You hold on to it. Maybe something precious you're given. And you hold it in your hands and you hold it near to your heart. Oh, to hold the gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, near with delight. He has hold of us, but But oh, in the arms of faith, to so hold on to Christ, that will be the most precious time we have at the conclusion of this year, if we know what it is to so hold on to Christ. He's the gift presented to us. We have received, oh, to hold it near. Oh, to get closer to Jesus. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The Apostle Paul here, he's speaking of the gift. He's holding the gift near. He's taken up with the gift. Oh, to hold on to Christ more and more. Seventhly, a gift to be enjoyed forever. A gift to be enjoyed forever. You've been given many gifts over the years, and you received them with thanks, and you were benefited through them, but some of them you have no longer in your possession. Children are given many gifts, but when they're older, many of them they do not retain. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ. He was given, and you will have him forever. We will never be disappointed in him. He will always continue to be a blessing to us, and that union with him will never be broken. We have the gift forever. We will enjoy him forever. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 17, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a wonderful gift we shall have forever. And we will admire the gift forever. And let's look again at what the Apostle is saying here. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. His unspeakable gift. He's been, as we have already mentioned, considering giving to others. But then he's taken up with the Lord and his mind is focused. And what can he say? How can he fully describe the gift? You may go and listen to a choir, the Lord willing. In 2 days I'll be listening to a choir in London. And you may be left speechless. What can you say? They've sung so well, all in harmony. When I think that, I'm glad that I haven't participated. But you're left speechless. You know, sometimes you're given a gift and it's so precious to you and it's so thoughtful from the giver that you're left, as it were, in silence. Words fail you. Well, here, as it were, words are failing the Apostle Paul. He's so focused on Christ. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We cannot fully express, can we, in words, what Christ is like. Yes, we have certain helps from the Word of God. Yea, he is altogether lovely. But all throughout all eternity, we shall be discovering more and more of Christ. We know he's altogether lovely, but really words fail us because we only know so little, and we know he's so wonderful, and there's so much more to know. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We admire his grace. And we muse over his excellencies. We consider the benefit of Christ. But what can we really say to fully describe how wonderful he is? We can't fully describe it, can we? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We could say many things. But oh, when we said many things, we would be left considering, oh, there's so much more we could say, but words fail us. Oh, to be there more often, viewing Christ as the unspeakable gift. Oh, to be holding on to Christ, having him near and being taken up with him. Oh, to admire him. You remember Mary, she pondered all those things. Oh, to ponder. Oh, to be taken up with him. Oh, to meditate that our hearts would be inflamed by the love of Christ, as Edward Camley wrote all those years ago. The unspeakable gift. Now just pause. That's how we are to present him to the unconverted. as the unspeakable gift. What can I say more? I can tell you a little about him, but he's so wonderful. And words tell me, that's the one I want you to believe in. That's the one I want you to love. The unspeakable gift. He is the unspeakable gift, but that does not stop us speaking of him. Now the apostle, as we draw to a close, he says this, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God. It's interesting, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 57, he says similar words to introduce a grand subject. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. We've been given the victory. What a comfort that is. Satan fires his arrows. We have many enemies in this world, but we've been given the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We know all will be well at death because of Christ. We will step into heaven. Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God be thanked, and God be thanked for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We're to thank him. We're to thank God. Firstly, simply because who he is. If he never blessed us, still we should thank him. But then consider what he has done and shown to us. We are to so thank him. Psalm 105 verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Give him the thanks and make known those deeds you are considering. His deeds. Psalm 106 verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Oh, we consider his mercy. And his mercy displayed to us through Christ. And his goodness. Oh, let God be thanked. Give him the thanks. It's amazing, isn't it? Who are we? We already considered Jacob earlier. He said, I am not worthy. Yet the Lord listens to us when we give him the praise. And he delights to listen to us. He is to be praised. He is to be thanked. Thanks be unto God. Here's the apostle. His heart is stirred. He's considering Christ. And he's giving the thanks to God. Listen to Spurgeon. The apostle broke out into that burst of praise because he could not help it. His soul was so swelling with intense gratitude, and he was obliged to cry out, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. He couldn't help it. Oh, to be there. When we can't help it, we have to thank God, having considered Christ. I told you this before, but there was a certain Ghanaian lady. And one day she was in the workplace and she met a Christian and she said to the Christian, and this lady had been working for 12 hours, there's nothing stopping me getting down on my knees and giving thanks to God. That's how we ought to be more often. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Oh, to thank him. If you cannot think of other things to say in prayer at a certain time, just thank him. That will bring him glory, and he will be pleased with such a prayer. Oh, to thank him when we come to the gatherings of the saints. Psalm 100 verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Now, dear brethren, we thank God in the worship of God. But as we see there, we're to come with our thanksgivings. Before we come collectively together and we know the closeness of Christ and his special presence, oh, to be considering the Lord and to come with our thanksgivings. Oh, to come with our praise. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And then we're to sing with a thankful heart. Psalm 147 verse 7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. We sing to God. What a wondrous thought that is. We sing to him, oh, to sing with thanksgiving. And then to magnify him with thanksgiving in song. Psalm 69 verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. We sing with thanksgiving and we magnify him with thanksgiving. We have higher thoughts of him. And as we do so with thanksgiving. In testing times, we are to trust the Lord, but also we are to give him thanks when we bring our petitions to the throne. Philippians 4 verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. See how the apostle deals. Be careful for nothing. You have your concerns, but cast them on him who careth for you. Roll the whole burden of life, as Spurgeon said, upon the Lord, and then give him the thanks. Oh, to thank him more often in the storms of life. When you're concerned about something, take it to him and then thank him. He's there for you. He will be a support for you. He will help you through the storm. The storm may rage about you, but through divine assistance, you will be helped through. And you can look and give thanks. Spurgeon wrote further, dear friends, praising God is never out of season and never out of place. Think of those days of revival. How they thanked God. How we ought to thank God in these days of little. When we see so little, all to thank him. And particularly to thank him for the unspeakable gift. The Lord has not changed. We see change and decay all around us, as the poet wrote, but the Lord has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. We can thank God for him. He's just a rock to us today, as he was a rock to the Puritans, and in those days of revival. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Think of Jesus and thank God. It's interesting, isn't it? We know that many more will be thinking of the Lord Jesus at this time of the year. But how many of them will thank God? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Over this holiday season, at the end of the year, and as the end of the year approaches, let's spend time thinking of Jesus and giving thanks to him. And if we have opportunity to speak of him to others, speak of him as the unspeakable gift. Woo sinners to Christ. There was a Puritan that ministered in this area, and at his funeral, it was said this of him. He wooed for Christ in his preaching. Let's woo for Christ in our communication. And one of the ways we can do is presenting him as the unspeakable gift. Well, as we come to the end of this year in this way, at these meetings, let's give thanks to God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of all people in this locality, we are the ones that ought to be so thanking God that Jesus came into the world to save us. Amen. Let us pray.